The doctor is in and taking your calls at 800-222-5222. It's Dr. Drew, Midday Live with Leanne Tweeden. And you can get it right now.
Indeed, Midday Live, Leanne Tweeden, Dr. Drew. Our number is 800-222-5222. Right now, we're going out to Dr. Mark Kerner, ENT, otolaryngologist. Dr. Kerner, welcome to the program.
Great. Hi, how are you? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. We're talking allergies on the heels of these terrific rains, and people, of course, are all complaining now that there's been a great bloom, and on top of the bloom of plant and flower life and God knows what off the desert floor, there is now a butterfly bloom further carrying the pollens about us.
Sure. Yeah, this has been a tremendous season. It's been great for our gardens, great for our lawns, and it's going to be horrific for people with allergies because the pollen counts are now skyrocketing, off the charts. This butterfly migration, they will actually carry a number of pollens and thistles, so that will also contribute to this as well. But as it's going now, we're going to have a tremendous pollen count in the next few months.
My prediction is the fall is going to be where it really gets nuts. When the winds start blowing things our direction, particularly off the desert floor, that's when I always see adults coming in with all kinds of crazy symptoms. Oftentimes, people who've not had allergies previously suddenly manifesting.
Yes, absolutely. And we see the same exact thing. The other thing is going to be, too, what I'm a little bit worried about, too, is that we may see a rise in valley fever now, too.
You know, it's so funny.
What is valley fever?
Coccidiomycosis. I was actually thinking about that, too. And does that tend to come up? I didn't know whether it came after a wet season like this. Does that tend to...
It does. And then if we do get those Santa Ana winds, just like you're talking about, you know, it's going to blow up those spores, and it's going to create those spores airborne. And I'm out in the valley, and I see actually a fair number of cases every year. So I'm expecting to see quite a few more.
Well,
so.
What is it?
It can be nothing, and it can be terrible. It has a wide range of manifestations. Mike, my question to you is, how are you picking it up? Are you getting chest X every time you think of it, or where are you seeing it?
Well, it's those people that are having that persistent cough that lasts, you know, over 10 days or so.
Right.
And they're having the low-grade fevers. They have that malaise. They have some of those other systemic symptoms associated with it. And then, you know, a lot of times, you know, not as suspicious, I'm getting them after they've already had a few courses of antibiotics. And then, you know, you have to start thinking about, you know, Coxy and all the other crazy causes. Also, as you're probably aware, Doc, we're seeing a lot of adult whooping cough too.
Yeah, I know. We're thinking the same way, and I was just thinking while he was talking about the coccidiomycosis symptoms, which are sort of indolent and nondescript. Whooping cough is very much the same way, except the cough is kind of prominent. And with coccidiomycosis, it can be very the pulmonary piece. While you can see it on chest X-ray, may not be so obvious clinically.
Right. So I work really closely with our pulmonary and ID consultants, you know, because they'll do all the antibody testing and everything. I'm trying to stick to surgical stuff and in our otolaryngology and allergy stuff. So I do engage them aggressively for help with that. But many, many times I'm seeing those kind of cases. So it also manifests with upper respiratory, you know, sinus type problems.
Yeah, I was going to say, let's stay with allergies for a second and talk about when and how people should be using. They now have access to over-the-counter corticosteroids. When and where should they be using those nasally?
Well, now that they do have access, we're very, very big fans of nasal irrigation. And I think that's one of the most basic things people can do. It gets the allergens out of their nose, out of their filter system. You can do it once, twice, three times a day. It doesn't make any difference. The more, the merrier. And what it does is reduces that allergen and antigen count in the nose, which is quite helpful. That's our first line. The second line then is those people that do have those allergy symptoms, which would consist of runny nose, post-nasal drip, congestion. If they have the systemic symptoms with the itchy eyes, the watery eyes, then we recommend the antihistamines. Most people now, you know, don't want to take Benadryl unless it's at night. They don't want the sedating ones, so they're taking the non-sedating antihistamines, which are pretty much all over the counter now, the Claritins, the Allegras. And then for the topical relief, we do recommend the nasal steroids.
And is that something people should be reaching for early when their allergic symptoms emerge, or wait until they don't resolve after a few days?
No, well, you know, you can wait a few days, but, you know, we're not hesitant to get people on those aggressively early, because it does have a little bit of a lag time in terms of the effect, in terms of its onset of action. So, you know, as opposed to them going for that over-the-counter nasal spray, which, you know, has that horrible rebound effect after, you know, 3 to 5 days, we prefer they use the nasal steroid.
So that's the Afrins and things like that. You really don't want to do. You use that a couple of times and that's it. But I want him to emphasize again, I know you're anxious to ask a question, but the point about the nasal lavage is very important. It's shown superior to antibiotics, superior to everything else for even acute sinusitis, not just allergic sinusitis. Is that correct?
Yeah, that is correct. And you know, there's a number of studies now looking at either single dose antibiotics, like there have been with UTIs, you know, urinary tract infections. But we're big fans now of using the nasal irrigations. And we're actually also having our patients add a small concentration of baby shampoo to their irrigation as well.
Interesting. Are we talking about the neti pots, or are we talking about the spray, the bottles you spray up the nose?
Either one. Well, if they're using a neti pot or nasal irrigation system, when they mix their own, they can actually add a very small amount. We have the concentrations worked out, and there's been a lot of research now in the last few years about the use of baby shampoo in the nasal irrigation to kill the biofilm-forming bacteria.
Interesting.
Which has now come to the forefront in sinus and nasal diseases as well. So sometimes you can't tell if it's allergic or if it's if they're colonized with these biofilm forming bacteria. So either way, it'll help for both.
Doctor, you know, knock on wood, I've never had allergies and I've never dealt with it. My best friend, allergies all the time, and I've seen her go through it her whole life, which is just tragic to me when I've never had anything. You know, it's funny, my husband, when he first moved here years ago, and he's an East Coast guy, he moved out here and he just got bad allergies, and I didn't even know it. I just thought he had allergies his whole life, and I'm like, gosh, you've dealt with this your whole life. He goes, no, I was like you. I never had allergies until he moved to California, and then we're talking like debilitating allergies, and now he's gotten them under control where he has them, you know, an outbreak like maybe once or twice a year, really bad, but he has to get, you know, a prescription from an ear, nose, and throat doctor.
Has he done shots?
No, but he has something from Dr. Sugarman, you know, that he does in his nose. That's the only thing that can control it. But why do some people get allergies, you know, into their 40s that have never had allergies before, and then all of a sudden you get allergies?
And then what is the role for desensitization? Let's do both.
Yeah.
Those go hand in hand. That's a great question. Yeah. So what we don't exactly know is, well, we know that this repeated exposure to a small concentration of allergens or antigens, so the allergy, whatever they're reacting to, then create an abnormal immune response in the nose and in the mucous membranes of the upper airway. So instead of just fighting off those, just controlling those antigens, and I don't want to get too technical, but we form different kinds of T and B cells and antibodies that then become allergenic.
Sensitized.
When they see that antigen again, they produce all of those horrible allergy symptoms you just described. And that's mediated through IgE as opposed to IgG. So for those people out there who have a science background and want to really get into it, so these are all IgE-mediated responses, and that's the basis of this allergy. So it's a repeated exposure over a long period of time, which is why he's developed that. So as Dr. Drew just said, the desensitization is to treat that is once we can identify what you're allergic to, if we give that back to you in very, very small doses that escalate over time, then we can trick your body into forming antibodies that will actually react to that before the IgE reacting antibodies, so you don't get that allergic response.
Got it.
Yeah.
So, interesting.
So that's how that works over time. And that's why it takes, you know, a year or two for desensitization therapy or allergy shots to work. But they are effective and they do reduce symptom load for a lot of people. The limitation really is how, what they're really, you know, whether we can identify what everyone's allergic to.
Right.
Now,
and that's always the limitation. So, especially in Southern California, we got grasses, trees, all kinds of pollen, moss mites.
So now let's talk about me for a second. So there's this upper respiratory infection going around that I've seen. I saw 10 of this morning where everyone's getting these laryngeal symptoms like you're hearing from me right now. And and moderate cough, not too much malaise, minimal sort of boggy sinus response. What do we do for this, the voice?
Well, again, a lot of times, if this thing, you know, we sort of arbitrarily set that time as a week. So if it's going on longer than a week, then we'll consider antibiotics. But for the most part, you know, most of these start out as viral syndromes, and then they can progress into, you know, bacterial laryngitis. Most of the time, you know, that laryngitis is coming from, as you know, swelling. You're getting swelling around those vocal cords or that of the tissues around the vocal cords. And it's just a tincture of time for a lot of this.
So I have access to inhaled corticosteroids. Should I attempt that, or is that going to make things worse?
Yeah, it certainly would help. For people that haven't, you know, that are really severe, and especially with our singers and our performers, you know, we will put them on antibiotics and oral steroids as well.
Right.
A shot of steroids.
Right. Yeah. Do you ever shoot into the vocal cords? Do you ever do anything mechanical there or paralyze them to heal?
No. Yeah. No, you don't have to. You certainly don't want to, because then you could put, especially a performer or a singer, you could put them at risk of a vocal fold tear. So you'd never want to jump directly into the cords. And actually, just taking them systemically, the vocal cords are very sensitive to the effects of steroids. So you can really modulate that swelling quickly.
This is a weeds question for me. What kind of dosing? You do like a Medrol pack type dosing, or just like 30 milligrams of prednisone for a couple of days?
Yeah. So I prefer Medrol just because of the side effect profile. And
you take a pretty good starting dose, though, right?
Right. So most of the time they'll start at 24 milligrams. Yeah. The six of the 4 milligram pills.
Yeah.
And I have them, and we dose them. I try to have them do it all at one time, so we get that blood level up high.
Got
it. And then taper it off.
All right. Thank you so much, Dr. Kerner. Where can people find you?
I'm in the San Fernando Valley in Northridge, also in the Canal Valley. So, on our website, www.calwestent.com.
And Mark Kerner, MarkKernerM.com, correct?
Yes.
All right. Thank you so
Excellent.
Much.
Thank you, doctor.
Appreciate it.
Great. Right. Great talking to you guys.
You bet. Bye-bye. I also didn't ask him if I was going to damage my cords by continuing to talk. He didn't seem to be concerned that I was talking.
No,
to
I think he would have told you that.
Yeah,
he would be like, and doctor, you should probably stop talking.
Thank you. And yes.
So are you going to take the steroids?
No.
Really?
No. Well, if.
Well, you said you had the access to them, and he said, yeah.
Oh, take the inhaled steroids. Yeah, I'm
going
to do that.
Okay,
good. Yeah, I'm going to do that.
Then I'll see you tomorrow.
You probably will. But
Lori's laughing at me.
But I've had sort of chronic cord stuff, and so I'm going to have somebody look at my cords and see, like, much like you did.
Absolutely.
See if I can figure that out.
I had chronic laryngitis for almost 2 years.
Jeez.
Yes.
From reflux.
Yes. Mm. And literally, I had laryngitis for about 2 years, and then chronic laryngitis, where I sounded like that almost, where I almost couldn't talk at all for 6 months.
Wow.
And I finally had to go in and.
So it was like this?
Even worse.
Didn't it drive you crazy?
Yeah. I was so scared to do... I was almost paralyzed to even go to a doctor because I was so scared of what was wrong with me.
Because it was so pronounced. You figured it had to be a tumor on your cords or something.
Mm-hmm.
No. That rarely happens.
I know, but, you know, I'm not a doctor, so I didn't know what was going on.
So, yeah, this would drive me out of my mind if it more than a week. And if you notice what he said, too, just let it go. It'll be gone in a week.
Yeah.
And if it's not a week, do antibiotics.
Yeah.
Then this is, and I found this to be true of this particular upper respiratory infection, which I know a lot of you out there have it because it's going around everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Everything we do makes it worse. That's why I was asking about the corticosteroid inhaler, because I'm not sure that's even going to help anybody. So I'm going to experiment on myself. We'll see.